Oh, I talked about it on David's podcast.
You whore.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about Hugh Jackman's swan song as Wolverine, the movie Logan. Oh, and we're going to spoil the shit out of it, so if you haven't seen it and you don't want spoilers, go away!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hey!
And Molly Glover.
Shh, 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 shh.
Don't you mean snick, snick, snick?
Snick, 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 snick,
snick, snick. We are here this week, as you might guess from that sound effects heavy introduction.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. We are here
Flawless.
To talk Logan.
Snicked.
Snicked. The, we would need to say, final film featuring Hugh Jackman.
Spoilers!
The final of nine.
It's
the final
happening.
Film, I said the final film feature. It's not a spoiler about the film. I mean...
Well, yeah, they announced it.
Hugh Jackman said...
I will say, we're going to start spoiling it now. So just skip this one and come back if you haven't seen Logan.
I mean, seriously, the movie's been out for like a month.
Yeah.
You know, it's been about a month, yeah.
So I
don't want to criticize the movie... But I feel like if you walked up to someone and said, hey, what do you think that movie Logan's about and how do you think the plot goes? I think like most people who are at least tangentially familiar with comics or the X-Men movies would probably get about 80% of the plot right from seeing a trailer. I don't think there's a lot to spoil here.
Certainly from seeing the trailer, I think it kind of lays it right out for you a little bit. I don't think the movie is super predictable, or not predictable. I don't think it's super surprising.
But
anyway, so yeah, there'll be spoilers.
I would say, so talking about things that surprised me about Logan, I was surprised by the ferocity and fight choreography for Laura, the little girl.
Yeah.
The way that they had her fight was amazing. They I was like expecting there to be some kind of like, oh, she's little, but she hits so hard, they go down or something. And instead it was like she climbed them like these men. She was climbing them like they were ladders and then just stabbing them in the neck and using her little foot claws. And
yes,
it was amazing. It was really cool.
Yeah, Daphne Keene.
She was pretty badass.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing her do more stuff.
She wants to be Laura again.
Cool.
I mean, I saw an interview with her. She's a pretty articulate 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she talked specifically about like the emotional range and like hardships of the character, mm-hmm. you know, mentally, and how that was a fun thing for her to act, and that was a challenge or whatever. And it's like, damn, you're 12.
Well, and she's X-23, and X-23 is a featured character, you know, in X-Men stuff.
She's Wolverine right now.
Right, and you know, I love it, because Laura Kinney is actually X-23's name, so, like, it was pretty cool that they named her right and everything.
Yeah.
I liked, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah, and I'm not, I mean, obviously, I'm as we've discussed a lot, I'm not too familiar with the comics. I don't read.
Mm-hmm.
I like comics just fine. I just never get around to reading them.
Yeah.
Sure.
But what surprised me, and it was just, it's like, oh yeah, of course. But it still did surprise me, is the moment when Xavier gets stabbed.
Yeah.
By the... new Wolverine, who's, I forget his name, just because, because they're really careful not to reveal that bit. And even though, you know, you're watching the movie, and if you know anything about movies, you know that they haven't actually shown you
X-24.
Logan's face. Yeah, they haven't shown you Logan's face as Charles is doing this speech. But still, I thought it was a pretty well done moment.
Yeah.
It also surprised me that they killed off that entire family. I mean, I was like, holy shit, that was brutal.
That was pretty amazing. So this is a rated R movie, and they did not disappoint. Much like with Deadpool, where it was like, oh, yeah, this is a rated R movie.
That family had to die.
Yeah, well, they did.
Because that's Wolverine's... whole bag is like everyone he touches, eventually he kind of
hurts or kills,
whether directly or indirectly or intentional or just bad luck. Wolverine is just like a fucking poison to anyone close to him. And, I mean, you can see it on his face when they, when Charles took them up on the, their hospitality. Logan was like, eh, this is a bad idea. And sure enough, it was a bad idea. Yeah. For exactly the reasons he thought.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's still, you know, you watch a movie like this and you, I think people go into a movie, a comic book movie, and they think, well, this nice farm family, somehow they're going to find a way to save it. You know, it's like, no.
They might lose one kid, but they'll
kill is the teenager,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's just this brutal kill the teenager.
Did you guys notice the whole, like, anti-GMO kind of sub message?
There was a little bit of that with the, I mean, I don't know if it was anti-GMO. It was certainly anti-corporate farming.
Anti-corporate farming, I mean, all the automated farms and automated trucks and reports on the TV or whatever about genetically modified foods and whatnot. And then just like the extinction of mutants as like a, I don't know, like, let's get rid of these mutated things. Like, I don't know, I just felt like it wasn't very direct, but I just feel like there's this whole kind of anti-mutant, or in that, including in that genetically modified
sentiment. But I mean, isn't the, I mean, the whole X-Men storyline is about humans being mistrusting of mutants, and mutants trying to find a way to coexist, or in the case of Magneto and the Brotherhood, trying to find a way to basically
win.
Take over, so the humans will leave you alone.
I guess I didn't think of it as anti-GMO in the sense of our world, because it was so very clearly set in this, like, most of the mutants are dead. We know that what happened was bad. Like, the X-Men have clearly been wiped out.
Oh, that's
like
one of my favorite things.
And so, in the Old Man Logan comics, it's Logan that killed him. He gets, something happens and he goes into some kind of blind rage where he doesn't know what he's doing, and he literally kills everybody, like all the X-Men. Like, goes through the school and kills every last fucking one of them. That's why he won't pop his claws anymore, as he swore when he kind of came to and saw what he'd done that he wouldn't do it anymore. But, so in this movie, like, I felt like all that anti-GMO farming, you know, whatever kind of stuff must have just was intended to be underscoring a future, what is it, like 2030?
2028?
2029. Okay, so like a future where, you know, because of mutants, now we don't trust anything. Now we don't, now we only, like, I could see that being, you know.
Yeah, the genetically modified corn is why there aren't any more mutants being born and stuff.
That's why?
Yeah,
it's
corn syrup in drinks and stuff, or something like that. Aren't mutants.
Was that because of the transigen?
Is that in the film, or is that in?
Yeah, no, it's not in the comics. That's in the movie, or it's implied. It's implied, but that's the thing this movie does a lot of. They don't show us how Professor X killed all the X-Men, nor do they even come out and say that. A TV in the background talks about
the last incident.
The Vegas, when Professor X goes nuts in Vegas and almost kills everyone, and he gets stopped, the news report says, you know, oh, it's a very similar thing to what happened in Westchester when, you know, 250 were killed, including the original, X. And then it cuts off. Professor Xavier lost control of his powers with his, you know, ALS or whatever he has, and had a mind seizure and killed all the fucking X-Men. Like, they don't say it in the movie, but that's what happened.
They give you the dots to connect.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just don't remember the corn syrup thing at all. That's cool, though. Maybe it was an intentional.
Yeah.
Maybe they must have bred it, which is ironic. Did they tinker with the genetics of the corns that it could kill the mutants, and then? Then there was a backlash? I don't know. That's interesting.
They really only told us the stuff that we needed for the story. Mm-hmm. And I like that they had thought about everything else that happened before, but they didn't really, it wasn't important. So they could just have it there.
Yeah, well, and I think that why would they just, sometimes you go, when you're writing dialogue, you're like, well, why would Logan constantly rehash what happened with the X-Men to Professor mm-hmm. X. Number one, Professor X clearly doesn't remember. Number two,
it's painful.
It's painful.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to talk about it. I like that there wasn't any not nonsense, but no point to the X. I can't brain my brain. I'm sorry. What's the exposition? No need for useless exposition.
Oh, yeah.
Just say things out loud. Like, that's something that always bothers me in movies when it's like, how is your job at the factory? Are they still closing it down? Like, there's ways to show that and without just saying it. So
maybe we should figure out what's killing you. I know what's killing me. It's the adamantium inside my body.
Yeah.
They didn't include that part.
Yeah.
They just you know.
Yep. Man, I don't know if they will do anything with them, but those other kids that were in Eden or whatever it was, all the other test subjects from the
leader kid who had the ground control powers.
Richter. Yeah.
Richter with earthquake powers is one of the mutants from X Factor.
Mm-hmm. On
his genetic heritage paperwork thing that the Terrigene, what is it? Terrigene?
Terrigene. I think Alkali Terrigene.
The company. On the paperwork for him, when they show, Laura is Project X-23 mm-hmm. and all that stuff, his genetic donor is the earthquakey guy from Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, Avalanche.
Oh.
So they could, they had all these little things in there like that I really appreciated.
That's cool.
Even if they never do an X Factor movie, even if it's a little Richter, just having the name there was kind of a nice little nod. Avalanche 2, such a throwaway, but it's appreciated.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I liked the movie a lot. I thought it stumbled a little bit in the third act.
Mm.
One of the things that kind of bugged me is that all the kids made it there and none of the adults. Idea that there are all these adults trying to help these kids and somehow only one of them needed another adult to help her to get there. And it was the one that may have been the most capable, or certainly one of the most capable.
Well, she didn't necessarily need another adult. Someone asked him to do it for her. That girl, that woman the nurse was like, she needs you. And I think the reason that she, quote unquote, needed an adult was because she was the most valuable. She was the one they were coming after. Those other kids, they were test subjects, but it seemed like she was the one they were really most.
Well, they want to kill them all. I mean, they got to
get up their mess. If she was the only one they were coming after, why wouldn't the rest of them have their escorts with them? Or did the escorts just give them coordinates and let them go on their way? So that was kind of weird. And
do they have tracking devices in them? Did they ever mention that? It seemed weird.
It
seemed weird to me that it's 2029 and they haven't just put a fucking microchip in these kids. You can microchip a shelter cat for cheap. What is it going to cost in 2029? A dollar?
Yeah, I've got a little Bluetooth tracking chip in my backpack. I know where that shit is all over.
I don't want to rip it too much, but it was just that was the point where it kind of felt, because you got away from the Logan and Laura story.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, I see that.
Which I think was really good. I mean, I think the first act of that film, right up basically mm-hmm. until the moment that they get into that first fight and they escape.
When she first starts talking, when the first time she talks, and she's just going off on him in Spanish, just yelling at him. That was great.
Whoa, you can talk?
Yeah.
Who was the British guy that was Caliban? He was great.
He was great.
He's in that show Hello Ladies.
I don't know his name. So here's something that I've seen people saying about Logan. And Deadpool, but it's wake up, Hollywood. This is what superhero movies should be. Like, this is what comic book movies should be. This is how they can make money.
No, that's
what I was going to ask you guys. How do you feel about that? Do you think that,
see how much Batman versus Superman made? And it's a piece of shit.
Do they need to make, but no, I guess, I think it's more of a, should comic book movies stay in the realm of PG, PG-13 at most, or should there be more R-rated comic book movies, or is it really based on the IP? Like Deadpool, you can't make a PG-13 Deadpool movie without it being stupid, right? Yeah. Like, it's just not, so it had to be R. I feel like Logan, for it to really be a Wolverine movie, because he is a killing machine, you know, like that's, but so are there ways, are there other, can you think of other IPs that would have to have an R-rated movie? Like in the...
Well, I want to answer your first question first, which is the question about do, you know, is this what superhero movies need? No, I don't agree with that. I think on one hand, I think you need to make the movie that makes sense for the character. And if that means it needs to be a rated R movie, like Deadpool, like Logan, then fine. You make a rated R movie.
I agree with that.
And that's where... And if they'd made a watered-down version of Logan or a watered-down version of Deadpool, I don't think either movie would have been as good.
They did make a watered-down version of Logan. It's called the third Wolverine movie.
Well, yeah, and the third Wolverine movie is actually decent
Origins.
For about half
Origins,
of it.
Origins, yeah.
Is about half of it is decent, and then it gets to the plot of the villain, and you're like, well, what the fuck is this bullshit? And you don't care. But it... In Logan, they're like, let's make a rated R movie because that's what this material needs. That's the right choice. You need. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with a superhero movie that's rated G if it makes sense for the material. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it could be because they all punch, but...
Well, so everybody gets into a fight.
So here's another question. Like, let's get more specific while you're thinking about what other characters might need an R-rated movie. But so like Black Widow. For example, let's say Black Widow's going to get a standalone movie. They're obviously not going to make it R, but should they? Like, what kind of a character... And I know that in America, we are way less... we have no problem with blood, violence, and death to get to not have an R rating, but as soon as there's sex and swearing, then there is. So let's assume that, like... It would need to be, if it's going to be the right kind of violence, you know, like, think of it that way. Like, PG-13 violence versus R violence.
I don't know that there's anything that's part of a rated R movie that would make a Black Widow film better.
I mean, she's got a really dark past. She's an assassin.
If they do a Black Widow origin movie or something like that where they go into, like, the Red Room and how she was tortured and brainwashed and conditioned and trained and, like, her early assassination missions and stuff like that... I would want that movie to be Marvel's first rated R movie. You know, I think that would be a good... and it wouldn't have to be for gratuitous bloody violence, but for the themes of...
Horrific
of,
content.
Yeah. Torture and brainwash and all of that. I feel like those scenes should be done in a way that is pretty harsh to watch, because it should be, because it's rough stuff.
So it's hard for her to
it shouldn't be treated lightly, and so I think a rated R would be a good fit for that. I don't think it's necessary. I think you can do a good one without it. But
what about DC? Are there any DC characters that, like, absolutely you think need an R-rated movie?
Hitman. Hitman would be funny as hell as PG-13. I'd watch that.
Like, I mean. So, like, they're remaking, if they were going to remake something even, let's say, like
okay.
this.
Okay, so, basically everything Marvel and DC do in their, like, main continuity comics could be done as done PG-13.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, like, X-Factor. X-Factor. Not X-Factor. X-Force.
Yeah.
There's your rated R Logan or and Deadpool sequel type thing. Like that X Factor or Force, god damn it, would be a good rated R. Because they're a mutant assassination squad. That should be rated R. But that's just a Wolverine property, basically.
That's all. I'm just trying to think of other things to talk about regarding the movie.
The Shane shit was a little heavy.
The Shane stuff was, I guess maybe I know some people who that they loved that movie, and so that really had an emotional thing for them when those parts were happening. And for me, I have never seen Shane. I know a few lines from it from books I've read, but
I don't know. The Shane, you know, obviously the Shane stuff is meant to be a reflection of the relationship between Logan and Laura.
Yeah. That was probably the more overt stuff they did.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, I guess, because the rest of the movie did a better job of remaining more subtle and asking the audience to connect more of the dots, that part was, I think, a little bit disappointing, just because it was like, yeah, okay. I get it. I see the parallel here. Thank you very much. Well done. Except it wasn't well done. It was just
heavy-handed.
Let's show an old movie and
then she quotes it word for word, the exact thing we saw. That she saw the part of Shane she watches, she quotes it verbatim.
Yeah.
A little rough.
It was a bit.
I've got a question for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Logan. So, in the end, when Wolverine, Logan, whatever, is in his grave, and he's died, and Laura reaches over and grabs the crude wooden cross that's planted there, and she picks it up and turns it and puts it back down, so it's an X.
Loved it.
Was the atheist in you happier, or was the geek in you happier?
Oh, man, don't make me choose.
Were you happier that it wasn't a cross, or that it was an X for an X-Man?
I even toss, honest to God. Toss, because at first I was like, oh, yeah, because I hate that it's always a cross. In every movie, someone dies, and they bury them, and they make a wooden cross. That's the marker.
Because you got to mark the grave, that's the only way you can mark the grave.
No, it's not.
I know.
That's what makes me so crazy. So, that at first, I was just like, lazy. Like, that was my instant thought, was just lazy. But then when she made it the X, it was, I don't know.
Tim?
It probably made... Because the geek in me was kind of like, really? But the atheist in me was like, all right.
The geek in you thought the X was too heavy-handed?
Yeah. The geek in me thought the X was a little heavy-handed, but the atheist in me was like, well, at least there's not a cross. Because, I don't know what I don't know what the comics say about Wolverine's belief in a higher power, but I can't believe he's a Christian.
It's complicated.
I would say I feel like if Wolverine believes in a higher power, it's the power of the X-Men and... The fellowship may be found there, and
he's like died and met death itself. He's met several gods, fought alongside them. He's been transported through time by magic.
The reason I like the X.
I don't think he's like a worshipful theist.
The reason I like the X specifically, and why I thought it actually made me. That's the only thing in the movie that almost made me tear up a little bit. This movie didn't make me sad or anything. I think I just knew what was happening. I could see it coming. It didn't surprise me. The X thing made me a little choked up just because that is the one thing that, he's always been reticent about. Hmm. Joining another group. Having a family.
Being a part of a team.
Being a part of a team. Opening his heart. Sharing. Yeah. And that has been he has been a brick wall with that over and over. And the fact that, just after watching Logan, no one's like, oh, he would hate that. When you see her turn the X, you're just like, yeah, that's right. It's a goddamn X.
You're looking
X-Men
at the cross
thing.
And you're thinking he would hate that.
Yes. So that's why I think that's why to me it didn't feel hacky or overdone. It was there's so much to unpack there with what the X-Men were to him.
It's funny that, so this is, Molly said, it's based on Old Man Logan, very, very roughly, but... Where I see the most influence in this movie, in the X-Men comics, is after Charles Xavier's death, when Wolverine has taken over the school, which has been renamed the Jean Grey Institute, or school, and Wolverine is the principal for some fucking reason.
In the comic.
Yeah, it's very short.
Yeah.
But around this same time period... Laura is becoming a little more of a character, and Wolverine is like, why am I in charge of kids? Who thinks this is a good idea? All these children are awful, kind of. And I feel like, the way Wolverine in the comics is dead right now. Logan is dead. There are two other Wolverine-ish people. Old Man Logan, who has been taken from an alternate future, is here right now, and Laura is the new Wolverine. There are other X-23 clones who are different batches than Laura, one of which is her sidekick right now, and it's kind of awesome. But I feel like the way Marvel is right now with Wolverine and his death and how they handled that and how they're handling Laura right now... People talk about Marvel sabotaging the X-Men comics because they don't have the rights to the movies, yet what they're putting, the only good X-Men shit they put out in the last 5 years, is kind of what inspired this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, I'm not going to go and say, oh my God, Logan is the most great fucking movie ever. I mean, it's the best standalone Wolverine movie,
no doubt.
Hands down. Hands down the best
Wolverine movie. It's the best X-Men movie that isn't Deadpool if you don't count Deadpool as an X-Men movie.
I'd say that.
Because he's tangentially X-related.
He's an X-Weapon.
I think if we're not counting Deadpool as an X-Men movie, which I don't think you should really.
Yeah.
Logan is my favorite X-Men.
Deadpool is a mutant movie.
Yeah.
Logan is an X-Men movie.
What's your second favorite?
First Class? Maybe the very first X-Men movie. Because even though it was just good, I feel like the bad guys were bad guys, the good guys were good guys. They got basically every character right. Like, there wasn't this, like, Mystique is fucking the new Charles Xavier for some reason.
Yeah.
Not fucking, she is the new...
Oh, yeah.
I just don't like a non-mutant-powered Mystique. I don't like Jennifer Lawrence leading the X-Men. Not even Mystique. It's just Jennifer Lawrence leading the X-Men right now.
I liked First Class a lot because I've always... One of the things I've always found incredibly endearing and interesting about the X-Men is the relationship between Charles Xavier and Eric Magneto, whose last name I never can remember. German last name. The way they both approach it and the reasons that they have, like, you can see how they are both extremely powerful and have developed these very, I mean, moral ethoses. Like that's the thing is, you know, Magneto is kind of a moral villain to him.
Magneto's an anti-hero.
He has a moral imperative, which is, I am part of we're the future, and I'm not going to let these ignorant assholes wipe us out.
Yeah, like, me and my people lived through one genocide.
Yep.
Me and my other people won't.
Yep.
Won't tolerate the chance of another.
And Charles No, I can read everyone's minds, and I know people are basically good, and we just have to help them learn to be good. Like, and so it's this very much, I've always loved that, and First Class has a lot of that. It's great.
And if Logan is the continuity canon,
yeah,
Charles was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
You mean Magneto was right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
Too bad he didn't live to find out.
Damn!
Oh. Yeah.
All right, so it's time for 5 questions. Ooh. We talked over Logan. If you've seen it, sure, we would be interested in hearing your thoughts.
Yeah, especially if you think we were wrong.
Yeah.
I always love being hearing when I'm wrong.
I love people just...
Especially made me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do 5 questions, but here's the deal. We already announced that we are done with five questions. And then we just read Jeremy Stomberg's 5 questions, and we said we were done.
Yep.
But we haven't done our episode where we announced our new 5 questions.
We haven't yet.
We got another set of five questions.
We got one last one.
Next episode, we're going to start with a new 5 questions.
Going forward, if you send me the questions, the answers to these specific questions, I will just respond to you and say, answer the new ones. So, we got them from Charles Hubble.
And we like Charles.
Friend of the show, Charles Hubble.
It's not like we don't like the rest of you, but we like Charles.
World-renowned actor Charles Hubble.
World, like, international film star.
International film star, Charles Hubble.
Star of film and
YouTube.
Star
of Midnight, the movie, Charles Hubble.
All right, no need to get nasty.
All right, so...
He's met Sir Ben Kingsley.
It was in a movie with him. Yeah.
Hit me up.
All right, so question number one. What's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
The Crow.
Yay.
Oh. This is my favorite appearance of Wincott. I think he's great in this. Mostly this movie has a lot of nostalgia for my more gothy days in the late 90s and the early aughts. Lee is great.
Speaking of Midnight.
Lee is great. The music is great. The fighting is fun, and it has that great line, and he looked and saw how terrible goodness is.
Yeah.
Also, Proyas gave us Dark City, which is another movie I like to watch.
I like Proyas.
The sequel was dreadful, but they're remaking the original to be a little bit closer to the comic, but still, I mean, the first movie wasn't too far off, really.
If someone dies while they make a remake,
oh my god,
it'll be such
great.
A, it'll be
I mean,
such
bad.
A thing.
That'll be sad, but it'll be great. All right, question number two. I usually don't do questions two and four, so I can't remember the order anymore. And I just blew the questions out of my mind. Question number two, what's your geekiest or most prized possession?
A Darth Vader head filled with the original line of Star Wars figures.
Oh,
I shall
bequeath
it to my son when he has grown older and proved himself in battle.
The original Kenner line?
Is it like a Darth Vader bust, like coffin case?
I
have that same case under our fucking end table right now in our living room.
Is it filled with Star Wars figures?
It has a few in there. I'm slowly, piece by piece, giving my old Star Wars stuff to our nephew.
Oh.
And nieces, but they're babies, so they don't know what Star Wars is.
Yeah.
Nieces just stick them in their mouth.
Question three. Which supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
Ents.
No!
I'm fascinated by how that would change our perspective on time and the environment. With Ents would come some of their hobbit heightening water or whatever they've got. It's got to be some great medicinal benefits there, right? Then there'd be large cults of hippies all looking for Ent wives, of offering themselves to become Ent wives. Wait a minute. I think there's something here. Ent porn.
Yeah.
Rule 23?
It exists.
Rule 34, Charles. Yeah,
Charles,
I guarantee there's already Ent porn.
There is Ent porn.
And not just like stoners on Reddit fucking like
there's people that have drawn ants with gigantic dicks fucking other ants,
maybe even
Tim
fucked
knows,
in costume
personally.
Maybe even fucked in a tree costume.
Oh sure,
you know,
sure,
fucked a tree,
yeah, why not?
They got holes.
They're probably there's probably like all sorts of slash fiction about the hobbits having sex with Treebeard.
Is Evil Dead 2 ant porn?
No, but Evil Dead 1 is.
Oh, Evil Dead 1, that's
oh,
the one.
Oh, okay. So, question number four. Say religion is gone, what is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
Dogma of all kinds, I guess. Dogma that we allow to become intertwined with our personal identities, making discussions and inquiry impossible. Dogma prohibits us from using the same skepticism in one category, theism, for example, and unable to use it in another category, like, oh, I don't know, chemtrails or shit like that. Mm.
Chemtrails.
You know, I get that. People were like, I love when people are like, look, I'm a skeptic. That's why I believe that vaccines cause autism.
I know.
No,
you're not actually a skeptic. That's not how it
works.
Yep,
there's Ent porn. There you go, guys.
Oh, we found it.
Yay!
Yeah. Sorry, question number five.
I don't know why I said yay. I don't know why.
What is your favorite quote?
Nothing. Nothing. Cha-la-la. This is a quote from David Bowie as the Goblin King in Labyrinth. We say it a lot at home. Runner-up, most things
nothing
that
Lord...
I didn't say it right. Or runner-up, most things that Lord Flashheart says in the Black Adder series, such as, am I pleased to see you or did I just put a canoe in my pocket? Thanks, bridemaid. Like the beard. Gives me something to hang on to. And I've got an idea and it's as hot as my pants.
Oh, man.
I love your show. I'll answer your new questions when I hear them. Thanks, Charles.
Thanks, Charles. Yeah, there
porn.
It is.
I'm seeing
it.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's Ent porn, all right.
Yep, the Ent's just doing it with a girl.
Yep.
So there we go.
He's not really doing it with a girl so much as he's doing it to a girl. She doesn't look super happy about it.
She seemed to do it. I don't know.
It looked a little rapey Ent porn. But anyway, all right.
I think you're just saying that because it's a tree. But
we are going to repeat. These are not five questions you should answer.
No.
You should answer these five questions. This is the last time we're going to have anybody's answers
Sorry,
to these
Jeremy.
Five questions. Sorry, Jeremy. You thought you were last, but you're not. We have new questions coming up next week, so you should listen to next week's episode, and you will find out what those questions are. We need to do a shout-out. We have a new Patreon supporter.
Brianne Bilyeu,
friend of the show,
Brianne Bilyeu. That puts us well over 50.
Yeah,
and we are again. We'll soon.
We're scheduling it.
Yeah, we're scheduling. We have ideas for these special Patreon supporter episodes. You too can support us on Patreon, of course, and you can go over to Patreon and listen to our episodes early. Like last week's episode, you got to listen to like 12 hours early.
Yeah.
So that was pretty impressive.
It's as fast as Tim can edit them sometimes, which is actually pretty fast in that case, considering when we recorded it. Yeah, no doubt.
In any case, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to introducing our new five questions to you next week, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Well, now that Hugh Jackman is done making Wolverine movies, he can start working on that Les Miserables sequel. What? Oh.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize has more authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
And I gotta pee.